Where do you find yourself in the story of Jesus' suffering and death? It may be a story more than 2,000 years old, but we can all find ourselves in it somewhere. Can you see yourself in Judas? He was a disciple, and he had followed Jesus for years. But maybe he was frustrated with the pace of change. Where was the kingdom that Jesus had promised? Why wasn't Jesus doing more to bring it right now? Maybe Judas thought that if he just pushed Jesus a little bit, he could get him to behave more according to his vision of things. Can you see yourself in the chief priests? They'd worked out a good compromise with the Roman government. They controlled important farm and business contracts. Their bank accounts were doing very nicely. And they didn't want some popular leader threatening all their profits. Can you see yourself in them, indifferent to injustice, as long as your bank account doesn't suffer? Can you see yourself in Peter? He's eager to follow Jesus as long as he can stick to the ways that he knows. He's willing to attack for Jesus. But then Jesus reprimands him, and he's hurt and angry and maybe a bit confused. He's willing to defend Jesus through violence, but he's not willing to be arrested for him. It's so much easier to cause suffering than to bear it. And so he lets his fear rule him. And he denies even knowing Jesus. And then he has to face his failure and his shame. Maybe you're one of the pawns in this story, the servants, the slaves, the soldiers. You're an employee trapped within a power structure. You're just doing your job, trying to stay out of trouble, even though you know that what you've been asked to do is wrong. Even though innocent people suffer when you follow the boss's orders. And maybe sometimes you get caught up in exercising the little power that you do have. Maybe sometimes you use it to put others down so that you can keep your place. Or maybe you see yourself in Pilate. He's just trying to keep the peace. And he's afraid of the consequences if he does anything that catches Caesar's attention. He doesn't dare admit that Jesus might have a greater claim to his allegiance than his own government does. He's cynical about truth. Who can really know what's true these days, anyway? There are so many competing narratives out there. It's better just to keep your head down and believe whatever is convenient. If he treats a lie as if it were the truth, well, sometimes that works out better for him. If the government pays no attention to evidence or due process, so what? If the government hands an innocent person over to torture and death, so what? What can anyone expect him to do about it? Can you see yourself in the leaders stirring up the people to condemn an innocent man? After all, Scapegoats are a time-honored tradition. If you can convince the crowds to blame someone else for their problems, you can keep them from looking too closely at the system that you're profiting from. You can use all that anger and fear to get what you want. Can you see yourself in the crowds? They're trapped in poverty, under the thumb of a ruthless government. They're looking for a target for their anger, and they're deceived by their leaders. So they call for the release of a violent insurrectionist who steals and destroys. Can you see yourself letting the government condemn innocent people to suffering and death, as long as you stay safe? Can you see yourself in the women and in the beloved disciple, standing by helpless as the one they love is crucified? What can you do? Is there anything that you can do to stop this horror, this perversion of justice? Do you have any power at all? Just where is God in all this? Where is God? God is not the one who demands a sacrifice in this story. We demand a sacrifice. We want someone else to suffer so that we don't have to. So where is God in the story? God is on the cross, incarnate in Jesus. God chooses to be the one who suffers for us. In our greed, in our anger, and oh, in our fear, we nail the living truth to the cross. And God in Christ identifies not with the powerful, not with the movers and shakers in history, but with the condemned ones, with the prisoners, with the tortured ones, with the victims, with the least of these. God hangs naked, exposed for all the world to see. God bears our sin. And God in Christ bears our mockery, our laughter, our cruelty, our indifference. God bears our shame. God in Christ dies for us. And God does not condemn us in spite of all that we have done to deserve it. No. God forgives us. God pours out his very life for us. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that makes us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. Do not turn your face away from the truth tonight. Look at the cross. Look at what we human beings have done and what we continue to do. Look at the one whom we have pierced. Look at the unimaginable depth and truth of God's love for you. Look at the foolish wisdom of God that is wiser than human wisdom. See how God exercises power. Not through violence, but through what looks like weakness. Through suffering. Through love. Trust in Christ's forgiveness and love for you, for you. Trust that God's love overcomes hatred and violence and sin. Trust in the life that even though it dies, will rise again. And then take up your own cross and follow Jesus.